Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I have no agenda.
Which one should we do? We can do. We can go. This is not a class, right? We can just go in order. Not that I remember. Which ones did you find intriguing? Yes.
The one with 99 rectangles and the circle of radius of diameter 100.
Oh, so I gave the hint.
Okay, I don't remember.
Yujia, you heard the hint. Did it help you?
No.
Suppose you were living in a planetarium. That was the hint.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's a bit cryptic, isn't it? So let me try to uncrypticize it a bit. Okay. So maybe I should find it first. By the way, just so that people. Which one was it? It was here, this one. November 16.
Is it visible or should I make it bigger?
Okay. This is better, right? So, what does a planetarium look like? Of course, they all look the same. I'm sorry. So, a planetarium has a sort of semi-spherical dome. Okay? In the circular bottom. So the bottom is a disk. It's the disk we want to cover. Okay? So let's say the floor of the planetarium is of diameter 100. So what I'm proposing is that instead of covering the floor, you should cover the ceiling. Okay? That's what living in a planetarium will give you. Now, sorry, what's the relationship? I have to somehow relate covering the floor to covering the ceiling. So really what I mean is, instead of putting, right, the original question was, you had a disk of size 100 and you wanted to cover it with bands of size 1 times 100, okay? So what I'm proposing is each time you want to place a band on the floor, okay, so I drew a wide line to indicate the band. Instead, you should consider all the points that are directly above it on the ceiling. So for each band on the floor, there is a corresponding, I used to have color chalk, where is it? There is a corresponding yellow band on the ceiling. Good. What did it buy us?
Yes.
Okay.
Does it remind you any other problem? You see, sometimes I build up. So I ask one riddle so that I will be able to ask the next, right? So this is the next already. There was a previous riddle that this related to. No. Oh, checkers?
It's like covering the...
No. So, okay, there was a previous, let's see, I guess too many times the number 100 appeared here. Which one was this one? I can't find it. Oh, here, October 13. Oh. A spherical loaf of bread is put in a bread cutting machine. Which slice gets the most crust?
Yes.
Is it true that each slice gets equal amount of crust?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, yes. That's the most intriguing.
What?
That's the most intriguing riddle I found.
Which one?
That one.
No, but it was only the it was only the appetizer for that one. Yeah. So okay. First of all, let's do the October 13 riddle. I don't know if I want to do it. But I just want to state it. Okay, and what's your name?
Vlad.
Vlad. So, okay, you put a spherical loaf of bread into a bread cutting machine, and Vlad tells us that all slices get the same amount of of crust. Okay? So, I suppose now you turn the planetarium into sort of a ginger planet, ginger house, I don't know, bread house. Okay? And think of it in terms of spherical loaves of bread. Each such yellow stripe is actually, well, it's half of a spherical loaf of bread, but it's the same reasoning works. So each such yellow stripe has the same area, no matter where you place the bag. So you see, on the floor, the bands have different intersections with the floor. This band the intersection of this band with the floor is almost size 100. The intersection of a band that's placed on the side with the floor is tiny. Okay? Nevertheless, if you take this band, put it on the floor here, look at the corresponding slice, it has the same area, right? Basically because sort of in the center of the planetarium, the roof above you is flat, so for each area element at the bottom, the corresponding area element at the top is more or less the same. But near the sides of the planetarium, the ceiling above you is very much tilted. So each area element on the floor corresponds to a much larger area element on the ceiling. So and the content of October 3, is that it exactly balances out. So the area of this band is equal to the area of this band. Now, each such band has area 1 over 100 of the total. But you have only 99 of them. You can't. Okay? So again, if there was a presentation of the disk, if there was a presentation of the floor as a union of 99 bands, you would get a presentation of the ceiling as a union of 99 pieces of crust. Each such piece of crust has weight 1 over 99 of the total weight of crust. No way you can get the whole crust this way. Okay? So, Yujia, you said you liked this, you liked part the appetizer. Do you also like the...
But there's a subtle one there, though. I mean, because they are equal when you place them along a diameter.
Yeah. But all diameter, but it's simply because it's circle, it's
But what if
it's rotationally symmetric. If I place it this way, the area on the ceiling is the same. It just would mean rotate this thing.
But what if you move it slightly above? Like, what if it doesn't pass through the origin?
No, but that's exactly the point. This one doesn't pass through the origin. That's exactly the point of this bread slicing exercise. Any slice, so long as the slices have the same width, they have the same amount of crust on them, no matter whether they are taken from the side of the loaf or from the center of the loaf. So basically, right, I have this loaf of bread, and the claim is that no matter where I slice it, so long as I slice it with the same crust, I slice it this way, that way, that way, that way, it doesn't matter how I slice it, I will get the same amount of crust.
Ah, sorts of balance.
Okay. Good. What else should we do? Yes, you want to tell me your name.
Cameron. Cameron.
Cameron.
Yeah. So with 99, if you could bend them like a little bit, would you be able to, like, how much would you have to be able to bend them to be able to cover this?
This is not sufficiently well defined.
Okay.
If I was able to stretch each one just like a tiny bit by 1%, it would be enough. Uh-huh. Right? Because then they would be of size 1.01. 1.01 times 99 is almost 100.
Yeah.
So it's not sufficiently well defined. But.
Okay,
what else should we do? You know,
about the most recent one, the infinite paths on each prisoner?
Yeah. Anybody knows the answer?
Oh.
By the way, did anybody solve this?
Okay, I solved the previous one.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so anybody solve the one with the infinitely many hats, the prisoners? The ones that Jean Chrétien objects? I'm sorry, I heard. Poor Jean Chrétien didn't do anything wrong. Right, so this one. Sorry, this one. Yeah, November 28th. Anybody solved it? I have to say it's bizarre, right? The proof that you cannot do it, the proof that I provide that you cannot do it is convincing. It's just wrong, okay? How do we do it? Okay, so, Christina, let's do it with just three people. Christina and
Abhishek,
and I each wear infinitely many hats. And we want to point at black. I look at Christina and Abhishek, and I look at the height of the first height above the ground, where I see two black hats. And then I point at that height. They do exactly the same. Okay? So let's analyze this. And of course, if Naz was participating too, I would just look at the height where all three of them have a black hat, and I would point at the same height. Okay? So let's analyze what's going to happen here. So, okay, first of all, being an annoying mathematician, I'm going to make Christina and Abhishek and Naz stand on their heads and write from the top to the bottom, and myself. So, D, C, A, N, okay? They're going to have hats of some color. 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0. So let's declare that 1 means black. Okay? So far, what does draw see? Draw sees not, well, some whites, some blacks. So he goes on to the next level. He sees some whites, some blacks, goes down to the next level. Same for Christina. Christina sees 2 zeros and a 1, so she goes on. 3 zeros, she goes on, and so on. Same for all of you. At what level will we stop? Okay? Or at what level? When is it that at least one of us will stop? The answer is, there are two possibilities. We will either stop at a level where there is 1, 1, 1, 0, or at a level where there is 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay. If we stop, so if there was no such level, Okay, or if the first kind of if the first level that arrests us, that stops us, is a 1111 level, then well, then we each end up pointing at the right color, so we win. Okay. However, if before that level there is a level of the form 11110, then okay, I will pass on. Right. I will get to this level and I will pass on and continue. So I might get the answer right. Christina might get the answer right. Abhishek might get the answer right. Unfortunately, Naz, you come to this level, you don't see this zero, you see only ones, and you get the answer wrong. Okay? So basically, the place where we all stop, or not the place where we all stop, the place where we stop progressing is the first level in which there is either 1011 or 0111 or 1101 or 1110 or 1111. So we're going to our process of going down is going to stop to fail at the first level of this which has one of these forms. And if that level is a 1111, then we win. If that level is anything else, then at least one of us is wrong. Not at least, exactly one of us is wrong. Okay? Now, these levels are equally probable. So the overall probability that we will all win is 1 over n plus 1. If there are n of us, the chance that the first stopping level will be a 1111 is 1 over n plus 1. Okay? So we win in probability 1 over n plus 1, which is way, 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 way bigger than 1 over 2 to the n. I mean, you know, if n is 20, if there are 20 prisoners, this is 1 over a million, and this is 1 over 21. Okay? So you can do a lot better than random. Okay? So I've answered November 28th real. I haven't answered November 30th real. So November 30th real remains standing. The proof was perfect. What was wrong with it? In fact, you know, we have a contradiction in mathematics. Yes.
Can you just scroll to the right because we can't get the whole proof?
Oh, the proof?
Yeah.
Oh, it's pointless. It's on the website. It's useful. Okay. Okay. So, what went wrong with this argument? How did we? I gave you what I think is convincing reason why we can do a lot better than 1 over 2 to the n. What happened here? Yeah. I don't know.
I think if you take simultaneously literally, then the proof is okay. Like, because the way you get 1 over n plus 1 of the probability isn't really simultaneously pointing at.
Of course, like, why not? It's completely simultaneous. Sorry. I hold my hands behind my back. Christina holds her hands behind her back. Everybody holds their hands behind their backs. I'm looking at the three of them. I'm seeing where is the first level that I see all black. I keep my mouth shut because otherwise I get shot because I'm just a poor miserable prisoner, right? I don't say anything, neither do they. And then all at the same time, you know, I level 17, oops, I point at 17.
Yeah, okay, I understand
now. Yeah. I don't know. Naz, yeah.
I don't know, because we defined it both. A rule to choose the hat, which I guess is the key to the reducing the probability.
Yeah.
You don't think of that, then. I mean, if you randomly pointed a black hat, that's true. But if you give a rule.
But how did this rule gain advantage over random? Wait, I have a question. Did you, by following this argument, improved? Okay, suppose the question was differently, was phrased differently. If you point at the wrong color, you get shot. Not all of us, only you. Not just you, sorry, each of us. Okay? Did you improve your chance of survival by looking at others? What?
No, you didn't.
Are you crazy?
50-50.
Are you crazy? By looking at others, you improved your own chance of survival? How could this be?
Because of the way we define the function.
Again, I'm looking at you guys. I'm seeing that at level 17 it's all black. What? Yeah. How should it matter? It's not my head. It's your head.
That's wrong. What's wrong if you prove? Because you assume it's independence. The one that we point at the time is independent of others. So that's why you apply it.
So the issue is somehow with the independence. But okay. So somehow the point is that, or not the point, you have to verify it. You have to convince yourself that each of us individually didn't improve her chances. Okay? It's only that jointly we've improved our chances.
So the probability is, in fact, the probability that all of us got it right. So you actually change the sample space. Like, people would think that what happened is, in fact, the probability that they got it right. But now we are just...
So the point is somehow we kill the independence. But that's you know, I told you the answer to this riddle. This one is still for you to digest. It's really intriguing. Okay. You know, what else? What next? You know, I should tell you, so this riddle, much as it is technical and ugly, is at the end equally unbelievable. I don't know if equally, but sort of comparable.
Why reduce it to a close?
How could it even be unbelievable? It's after all just a number that limit, right?
Yeah.
It's not the number you expect.
Okay. Well, it's bounded. So it's a limit as it is. And it's in between 1 and 0. Yeah.
Excellent, Yujia. You said just the right thing.
Excel is useless.
You said just the right thing, you know. And I will not add, but you have to figure out why I said it. Okay, Eugenia says blue is contained in black. Therefore, right, I mean, basically the bound ball is contained in the bounding box. Therefore, the limit is between 0 and 1. Okay. Okay.
And there's, I got a...
What's the most interesting number you know between 0 and 1? A number which, if it was between 0 and 1, you'd be totally shocked.
2.
Infinity.
Wait, what?
Okay.
What?
Could be. Well, for my form, I used the Stirling formula. But it's impossible. I mean,
okay. So, what else? But this one, I just put it out today. We shouldn't decide. I already told you too much. Lion. Should we do the lion? Which lion? There were two lions. There was one lion that was running 4 times too fast, faster, and one lion that was running. Was Abhishek's lion and Dimitri's lion, right? Which lion should we deal with?
We did lion.
Oh, we did yours. So Dimitri's lion? Okay. So, the lion. I think Eugenia posted a hint.
Yeah.
So it must mean that Eugenia knows the answer.
Yeah.
Do you want to show us the answer, or should I, or do you... Why it doesn't
Well, you gave a much better result. You say the Da Vinci didn't even have to run like too much to
avoid. Oh, you know what? First of all, if Dmitri can survive, so here is Dmitri, here is the lab. If Dmitri can survive, I claim that he can survive while staying within a thousandth of a millimeter from where we started. He doesn't even have to run very far. Okay? But this is almost silly. You see, simply, Dmitri, instead of thinking that that this is the arena, he will think, he will reconsider, he will rebuild this arena, he will make a virtual arena this size. So long as the lion is outside of this virtual arena, he just doesn't do anything. Once the lion gets inside this arena, he starts running away the way he would run out, he would run away in the big arena. So if he could survive in the big arena, he can also survive in the small arena. Right? Basically, he just ignores the lion if the lion is far. And the moment the lion comes to a millimeter from him, then he starts doing whatever he would have done in the big arena. The size of the arena is irrelevant, right? I mean, so relative to the small arena, it's as if the velocity of the lion is a thousand times bigger. Right, relative to a smaller arena, the velocity of the lion is a thousand times bigger. But so is Dmitri's. So it just doesn't matter. So if you can survive, you can survive nearly without moving. I mean, you can't quite not move, because then you're restricting your arena to be of size zero. But you can be lazy and move as little as you want and still dodge the lion, yes.
But the lion in this riddle moves at the same speed as Dmitri, and the lion in the other riddle move four times as quickly.
Yeah. No, but that's a different riddle.
Okay.
No, I'm the virtual arena is a virtual Dmitri arena, not Abhishek arena.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I didn't translate between the problems. I'm saying the Dmitri problem at size 100, if you can survive at size 100, you can also survive at size 1. Okay? So long as the lion is outside of the disk of size 1, you don't do anything. The moment the lion gets in, you start evading it.
How do you
evade? This one I didn't answer yet.
Yeah, I thought you answered the entire riddle.
No, I haven't answered the entire riddle. I've only explained to you, Gia, why if you can evade, you can evade while doing nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Not doing nothing, but doing extremely little.
Yeah. So there's a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's evade the lion in a bigger way. Okay? And of course, it's the same as if it was small. Okay? So here is the lion. Here is Dmitri. I draw the straight line. No, sorry. That's not what I do. What do I do? So here is the lion. Here is Dmitri, here is the center. Okay? I draw the radius that goes through Dmitri, and I go to distance 1 over n in a direction perpendicular to the radius and away from the line. Okay? After that, I will be here, the lion will be somewhere else. So I will do the same thing. Now possibly the lion will be on that side of the radius, okay, of the diameter. So now I will move in this direction to distance 1 over n plus 1. Okay? And I'll just keep doing this. Dimitri will keep doing this. So we have to observe several things. First of all, the lion never catches Dimitri. Or at least in each of these steps, the lion doesn't catch Dimitri. Why? Because basically you're going straight away from this radius, from this diameter. The lion is on the other side. The distance between the lion and this point is at least is more than 1/n. Triangle inequality or something. Okay? Basically, okay, this is this circle. So basically, if I go in this direction and the lion is in the other half plane, then the distance the lion has to go is bigger. So this distance is bigger than this distance from here to here. And this distance is the hypotenuse of a triangle whose, what is the other thing called?
Leg.
The leg, whose leg is what Dimitri has to do. So Dimitri has to do the leg, the lion has to do the hypotenuse, Dimitri wins. Okay? So in each step, Dimitri survives. Okay. How long? What?
Well, I'm just wondering if Dimitri will ever get to the edge of the circle.
Good question. We'll compute.
Oh, okay.
I'm not done.
Okay.
How long will Dimitri survive? Assuming he doesn't ever run up, assuming nothing breaks, assuming he can continue this, how long can he survive for? So he can survive for, basically it takes him 1/n time to do the nth step. So the time, so he can survive for a time sum of 1/n, where n goes from, I don't know, Dimitri has to start, decide at what value of n to start. His choice. Okay, let's say from 700 to infinity. But this is the sum of the harmonic series and it's infinity. So if nothing bad happens, he survives forever. But let's see, what bad thing could happen? Exactly the thing that I forgot to name.
Cameron.
What?
Cameron, yeah.
So Cameron exactly pointed out what could go wrong. Maybe doing it enough times, Dimitri will end up crossing outside of the arena. And then, well, he can't. And he cannot continue with his strategy. Okay? So, let's compute Dimitri's distance from the center. So, let's suppose that at some step, the distance was r. And then he moved distance 1/n. What will be the distance afterwards? Well, by Pythagoras' rule, it will be square root of r squared plus 1/n squared. What will be the distance after that? So the distance after that, well, you have to square this quantity. Right? So if this was R1, then R2 will be this. And what will be R3? R3 will be the square root of R2 squared plus 1/n plus 1 squared, again by Pythagoras. But what is this? So R2 squared is R squared plus 1/n squared. Plus 1/n plus 1 squared, and so on. So what will be our k? Or, you know, maybe I should have called, my naming is wrong. But the point is that you end up adding to the square 1/n squared. And sum of 1/n squared is convergent. Now, in fact, it is convergent to something which is more than 1.
Yeah, but you can take your...
It's convergent to something that's more than 1. So if you actually start with going distance 1, then you will run out of the arena. However, you can start at n equals 700. You can decide that the steps, you know, basically you can start at 700 and still survive infinitely long. So, and this sum is small. So, yes.
This sounds kind of like one of Zeno's paradoxes, where you have one animal chasing another, and the idea is that one will never catch the other, but this isn't correct because...
Yeah, but with Zeno's paradox...
Yeah.
So, right, Zeno's paradox is, let me prove to you that I will never reach this wall. Right? Because I will walk halfway, and then I'll still, I walked half a minute, but I got only halfway. Now I need to get to the halfway point again. Now I need to get the halfway point again, and I need to get to the halfway point again, and I will never reach the wall. Mm-hmm. But here, the sum that you're looking at is sum of 1 over 2 to the n, which is convergent. So in finite amount of time, you will, right? So you first do the first half, then you do the second quarter, then you do the next 1/8, and so on. But the sum of the times that it takes you to do all of these intervals is finite. Here, the sum is infinite. So it's not quite Zeno. Okay? Okay, now let's be honest. Is it realistic? No, it's not realistic. Right? Because the lion can make the distance as short as it wishes to. And you know, once the distance between... And we have... We actually have width. Right? So once the distance between the center of gravity of the lion and your center of gravity is less than your width, you're dead. Okay? So, well, you know, math is... Okay. What else should we do?
Can we go on and see the interesting results?
No.
I think it's been a while.
What?
I mean, it's been a while since you posted those old widows.
Okay. So, sorry, I mean the navigation here is not very convenient. Okay.
The Y shape.
Can you find uncountably many disjoint subsets of R? This is not very well phrased.
Yeah, because you can just take singletons.
Of course, right. So, no, the question was different. The question was different. That's actually a good question. So, right. So, in fact, September 16 and September 23 were a pair. And 16 is misphrased, and 23 is properly phrased. So. Yeah, so 16 is just totally misphrased. So the question is, or the two questions are, and the answer to both of them appear contradictory, and both of them are not contradictory, and both of them are lovely. So question number one, can you find infinite, uncountably many subsets A alpha of the natural numbers, such that for every alpha and beta, either A alpha is contained in A beta, or the other way around, A beta is contained in A alpha. So basically, can you find one subset of the natural numbers for each real number, so that you have uncountably many, and with this property. And the second question was, can you find similarly A alpha inside N, such that for every alpha not equal to beta, A alpha intersect A beta is finite.
The second one is easy.
So, no, it's not easy. Yeah. Both of them are, so again, both of them are obviously impossible. Just like many of the riddles, right?
And the second one is impossible.
So, I mean, how can you, okay, so this really says that A alpha and A beta are nearly disjoint, right? So, they're almost disjoint. They only have finite much stuff in common. Now, if you have subsets of a countable set, of a small set, which are nearly disjoint, you can't have too many of them. How can you have uncountably many? And likewise here, I mean, how can you have, so basically this says that you have sort of a tower of subsets, this one. So here the subsets are nearly disjoint, so you can't have too many of them. And here you have a tower of subsets, but if it's a tower within a countable set, how can the tower itself be uncountable? That just completely doesn't make sense, yes.
What if you took Q squared, so the set of rational numbers squared, for example, and took concentric circles around the origin in bar 2 for any given real number, you take the members of Q squared that fall within that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Excellent.
Yeah, that's...
So one solution here is to take Q squared, there are countably many elements in Q squared, and then each circle has a different... There is an even easier solution, by the way.
Same for R.
Same for R.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So simply look at Q intersect the interval from minus infinity to alpha. The ray from minus infinity to alpha. For each real number, this is a set of rational numbers, so it's the same as a set of natural numbers. And these sets are have these properties, are nested within each other. Have you seen, asking you something hard. So have you seen these sets before?
Yeah, 157,
yeah.
Dedekind's cut.
Yeah.
These are Dedekind cuts. So in fact, this is the construction of the real numbers. The way you construct the real numbers, you know, in axiomatic set theory. So in 157, in Spivak's book, the real numbers are sort of assumed, and you have a list of properties. But elsewhere in mathematics, you try to construct them from more basic things. This is one of the primary ways in which you construct them. You say, a real number is a set of rationals, which is of that form. Which
the second one is another construction.
Exactly. The second one is the other construction of real numbers. So another construction of the real numbers is to say that the real numbers is the set of Cauchy sequences of
rationals.
So for each rational number, for each real number, choose a Cauchy sequence of rationals that converges to it. Any two such Cauchy sequences can have at most a finite intersection because they converge to different things. So this is it. There is actually an easier way to do two. Not easier, an easier way to draw it in the spirit of, Vlad. In the spirit of Vlad. So take the z squared. Z squared is the same as n. It's a countable set. And take a band, infinite band, of width 7 and of angle theta. And just rotate it, so change theta. Now, each such band defines a subset of the integers. So, these are those sets. Okay? The intersection of two such bands, if they're tilted by different amounts, their intersection is going to be a diamond like this, which is finite. So So it can have only finitely many points inside it. Now, these diamonds get bigger. If the two bands are nearly aligned, these diamonds get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the intersection will be bigger and bigger and bigger. But still, it's finite. Okay. So, okay. You know, I wonder if there were other impossible things that we did. Did anybody solve UGL's October 5 problem?
It's just, you know.
Yeah, no, it's maybe it's hard.
Is it?
This one is silly, October 12th. Did you, yeah, I'm not sure how, No, you tell me which one do you want to hear.
What was the, how far can you go? And you can jump across?
Sum of 1 over n. So, you have n Django blocks, okay. Or, you know, not quite sum of 1 over n, I mean, 1 half of that, 1 third of that, I don't remember, but I mean, some, it's easy to compute. Let's figure it out, okay? So, okay, so the question is, how far can I go by making a tower of n Django blocks so that it will not tilt, okay? So, okay. First of all, I claim that at any such point, I can assume that I'm just on the edge of tilting. So if you have a solution, then you have if you have a placement. You can always, in the optimal solution, you, at any point here, anything above it is just about to fall. Why? Because suppose this was not a, how should we call it, a critical point. Suppose that was not a critical point. Then, I could shift this one a bit to the left, shift all of these one a bit to the right, not by the same amount. Okay? Namely, I could shift this one distance A to the right and this one distance 3A to the left. So the overall center of gravity of all of these four isn't moving. Right? If I'm moving these three distance A to the right and this one distance 3A to the left, the overall center of gravity of these four isn't moving. So from the perspective of anything below, nothing has changed. Things below don't even see the difference. And this I can do until this is a critical point, and overall, I move this a bit to the right. Okay? So therefore, this is a critical point in the optimal solution. And for the same reason, this is a critical point, and this is a critical point, and any point must be a critical point. So now, let me construct the tower from the top. The first brick is like that. It's just placed. The second brick must be placed in the optimal solution so that this is distance 1/2. Because otherwise it's not a critical point and I can just shear it. The next brick must be placed so that this is distance 1/3. Because you can check that that's what would make it critical. And then the next one will have distance 1/4 and so on. So the solution is But you know, if you know, that's it's time to quit. Is there anything else that we really must do? So you know about the six chocks. Sorry, the six gender blocks that all touch each other. So it's a bit kind of fishy. It's not the best problem. I don't know why I asked it. Anyway, here's the solution. So, okay, you can make three chocks touch each other while they are in the plane, while they're lying on the plane, right? You just make them touch in the corner. So basically they, one goes like this, another one goes like that, and another one goes like, well, it doesn't even have to be corner to corner, it can be like that. Okay? So this is three. Now you do a second layer of the same thing, but like that. Okay? So basically you have one layer that looks like this, and you put on top of it another layer that looks like that. And each one touches each other. Sorry, this is a kid's game. I shouldn't have asked it. This is a kid's question. It's not, there is no deep math moral to it. I don't know, should we? Yeah, okay. I mean, okay. Unless there is a request, I will quit. And we can, you know, we can do another such session at some point.
Potato
ones. Sorry?
Potato.
That one is a good one, right. So the claim is that, gee, I need a potato. Anybody by any chance have a potato?
I have potato chips.
That would, well, it's no, such
won't work. It would work. But, so the claim, okay, you know what? Let's use heads.
No, this is really
Clementine.
What?
Clementine.
Oh, good.
One second.
Can you throw it?
Yep.
Okay, so I claim that I can draw with my chalk. I hope you don't mind. I can draw a loop on this clementine that would have the exact same three-dimensional shape as some loops that I would draw on this cup, mug, cup, I don't know what it is, whatever, mug, it says that it's mug, okay? The exact same three-dimensional shape. So, you know, if I made them out of metal wire, it would be the same metal wire, yes?
Would you like the solution?
Yes.
So you can, well, if you, because you said we
can
make them out of ghostium, right?
Oh, yeah, that was the hint. Make it out of ghostium. Ghostium, just to, Xiaoyang. So, ghostium is the material that ghosts are made of. So, you know, ghosts can pass through each other, and you can pass through a ghost, and you know, you get a little bit of a chill, but you can pass, so, yes.
Yeah, so if they could be made out of ghostium, then we can intersect one with the other, and so, draw it along the boundary.
Yeah, exactly.
But some troublemaker actually makes something bad. They say, what if you do golf balls? They have, you know, holes.
I ask potatoes, and when I ask this kind of riddles, I don't care about pathologies. I don't care about Cantor sets or whatever. Basically, if the two things are smooth, You push them into each other, but push them kind of without disruption, by thinking of them as made of ghosting. And then there is a line of intersection, and you just put your, you pass your chalk on the line of intersection. So basically, you, you know, how should you call it, invades the other, okay, so you draw the okay? Now this is going to be a three-dimensional shape, it's not going to be a planar shape, right? In principle, the intersection, like the line of intersection will not be a flat line, right? But there will be some line, okay? That's it. So it's kind of lovely because people spend hours thinking about how to draw a curve here, writing, I don't know, differential equation, you got to know what, and at the end the solution is just almost tautological. I'm sorry. Anything else? Okay, so let's quit and see you on Monday.